It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called.
But we like to share the gospel without any of this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh my goodness, is it football season in Ohio today? I don't know exactly what the temperature is, but my wife put on a robe this morning. We're normally sitting around the house naked. Now, that's an ugly picture. No, we're not. We're normally stripped down because it's been so daggone hot. And I looked across the kitchen table this morning. Michelle's wearing a robe. We had to close our windows instead of open them this morning. A little bit of refreshing air here. Hey, I'm trying something new today. I don't like looking like that. I like looking like this. So we're trying a little bit of a different technique today. Jared already got on me, said I need a professional microphone. Guys are giving me a hard time because we're speaking to people all around the world and we're looking kind of second class here as we do it. That's kind of the way I am, man. Hey, listen, announcement today, big announcement coming up. November 20 through 23. November 20 through 23. Want all of you to get out here to Ohio. We're going to have this Pass the Salt boot camp revival at Pastor Bill Dunphy's church. It's November 20 through 23. We just changed it and firmed it up. I know that's getting close to Thanksgiving, but we got Flip Benham, a couple others that are coming in to speak into the lives of people, and it's just the only time we were able to make it happen. So you can put that down November 20. Through the 23. I'm going to tell you this. It will be worth it. It'll be worth it. Talking to the guys in the queue, I'm talking to whoever's listening to this later. You get out here. You get out here. We'll figure out a way. We'll house you. We'll do whatever. It'll be worth your time, be valuable for you to get out here. Had a conversation. Maybe I shouldn't go public with this one yet. I won't go public with this one. November 20 through 23. Mark it down. Get here. We're going to have to be doing a lot of good stuff, a lot of fun stuff. And world's on fire, isn't it? World's stinking on fire. So I just pray the Lord be with me today because I got a lot of things I want to cover with you guys. By the way, if you still can't figure out, somebody's saying in my ear, not really in my ear, but I'm hearing it in my spirit. What's that phone number? It's 605-475-0017, 605-475-0017. You can listen to that. Listen, folks, I'm putting together a group to head down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Time out. I'm going to back up. Roger, I'm going to start with scripture this morning. Pastor, got that candy you gave me in my mouth. It's my fault. I'll get it out. Pastor Wayne, I'll be better than this. Turn to Ezekiel 36. You all know about the dry bones. That's in Ezekiel 37. Yesterday, Pastor Bill Dunphy was talking about Ezekiel 37, speaking to dry bones, and he asked a pretty profound question, and that profound question I asked to the guys off the queue, I'm going to ask it right now to everybody that's listening. Can you breathe life into something that's never been alive? Say it again. Can we make alive what's never been alive? Can we revive what has never been alive? Say, Coach, what are you talking about? This. I believe our churches are full of people who've never been born again. How do you breathe revival into something that's never been alive? Is it making sense to anybody? And we're calling for revival. We're calling for revival. And these people in the churches, they're in the churches, but they're not born again. They're following a different gospel. Paul warned us about that. Boy, I wish Pastor Wayne was here. Because it's in, is it Galatians or Colossians where he talks about a different gospel? Oh, foolish Galatians. Let's go there real quick. Let's go there. It's important. Chapter 5 of Galatians, I believe it is. Now you're going to say, Coach, there aren't five chapters in Galatians. Well, let me find it then. Yeah, there are. Yeah, there are five. Foolish Galatians. That might be three. Ooh, did you hear that? Man. Yeah, chapter three of Galatians. Do we have it? Y'all there with me? Here's what we're dealing with in America, guys. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again. Nope, I'm sorry, Jared. Three. Chapter three. That's a good, that one's good. I preach right there. Here we go. This is Paul speaking to the Galatians. By the way, the Galatian Christians. All right? Even though they probably weren't called Christians yet. Oh, foolish Galatians. How about this one? Oh, foolish Americans. You foolish Americans. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This is only what I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? You foolish Galatians. Foolish Galatians. If someone comes to you speaking a different gospel, somebody Google that one for me. A different gospel. Even if an angel were to come to you preaching a different gospel. Now, wait a minute. How's an angel going to come to me preaching a different gospel? That's what it says. Somebody's digging that for me. Somebody Googling that for me because I want to go somewhere with it. Because we got a different gospel in America today. We have a different gospel in America today. Say it again. Oh, foolish Americans. We have a different gospel. We have a prosperity gospel. We have people who have come and landed. Thanks, Wayne. Wayne says Galatians 1:9. I knew he'd do it for us. Galatians 1:9. Thanks for being there, Wayne. He Facebook messaged me. I'm chewing on your candy, Wayne. Verse 8 of Galatians 8. There you are. Let's go to 8, Jared. No, let's go to 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Boys, there must be another gospel. There must be another one. Which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. And the problem is in America, we're preaching a different gospel. We're not preaching a gospel of dying to self, killing of sin and dying to self. We're preaching a life enhancement gospel. Come to Jesus and you get all this stuff that comes along with it. You get the benefits of being on the team. Get all the bennies. I remember guys, you guys remember folks who used to talk to that had jobs they didn't like? He said, that's all right, man. I'm in it for the bennies. I'm in it for the benefits. I get insurance. I get retirement. I'm in it for the benefits. See, that's what's happened to us. That's a different gospel. The American gospel being preached across the world today is one of the benefits of being a Christian. Somebody say amen. Somebody help me out here so I know my microphone's still working. And as a result of that, we're trying to revive what can't be revived. Go back to Ezekiel 36, wherever I was. We're trying to revive what's never been alive. You guys, you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? Wide, narrow, many and few. Do you understand that we are looking for revival in a church? Sorry, Larry. We are looking for revival in an organization that has never been made alive by the Spirit of God. It's a different gospel. Come to Jesus and here's everything you get. See, Coach, you sounded exceedingly harsh today. I don't care, man. I'm really feeling it. I'm going to encourage you today. Some of you that are listening, I'm going to encourage you. Where did I say it was? Ezekiel. I've got to find him now. I flopped all the way through there. There he is. I want to show you. This just popped out to me yesterday. Jared, let's go down to, man, you're on top of it, buddy. I just, listen, you shouldn't pull stuff out of context because he's talking. It's all my cats down my feet. My cat's mad because my son's German Shepherd has been staying in my house the last 4 days. He's been out of town. And this, he chases him all around the house. Now he's down here by me hoping I'll protect him again. Zach, come and get your daggone dog. Ezekiel 36. Here's something that popped out at me. 36:33. Scrolling down there, Jared. Remember, we're talking about a different gospel, and guys aren't made alive. Because guys aren't made alive, they can't be revived. Okay, somebody says, my audio is not very good. Okay, I'll change my microphone. I got you. I don't want to have bad audio. Hang on here with me. Let's go down here. Do this. Now I should be better again. Okay, here. 35. Is that what I said? 33? Yeah, 33. I want you to watch something that jumps out here. Thus says the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all iniquities, in the day when we, shut up, Opie, as godly men are cleansed to the point where we're able to be used. A lot of us aren't cleansed right now. Look at this guy. You believe anyone's protected? Get out of here, Opie. This is a professional studio. In that day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it shall lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. I think there's a day coming when the Lord's going to cleanse this thing called America, and there's going to be another side of this thing. That's what I think. Sorry if it doesn't line up with your end times eschatology. That's what I think. The desolate land shall be tilled where it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, well, this land was desolate. It's become like a Garden of Eden. This is after it's cleansed, right? And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Watch this. Then the heathen that are left around about you, about the men, it's been cleansed, the men have been cleansed. Then the heathen that are left around about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. He's the God of restoration. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. And thus said the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts. So shall this waste cities be filled with flocks of men. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Encourages my heart today. I do a talk. You serve the God you see. Some of you heard that. You see the future you see. You serve the future you see. And we're doom and gloom in America for sure. And by golly, we deserve doom and gloom. But we only are in this doom and gloom mentality because we got some bad eschatology. And we want to believe the end time's coming because we're reading the newspaper and we're comparing it with the Bible. My Bible tells me to work while the sun shines because the day cometh when no man can work. And are we at that day yet? I don't know. So I'm going to keep working. Well, all of you are doing eschatology and breaking down scriptures and comparing this to that and what's going on in Israel and what's happening with the bear of the north and the bear in the south and the teddy bear in the west. And while you're falling and worrying about all that stuff, I'm going to work. Sun shines. You know what else I see? going to be a lot of men going to work. I don't know if you're connecting the dots here, Roger. Men are being birthed. We are going to have a birthing of men like we have never seen. This is just coming to me right now. This is right now I'm getting this. Promise Keepers was an abortion. Not an abortion in that it was bad, but it was an abortion of what God wanted it to be. God tried to breathe life into men in Promise Keepers. Oh, Lord. Woo! And he did, into many of them. Back you go to verse 37, and we can see about the valley of the dry bones. Those men are the dry bones. Some of them not even in churches anymore. Some of them in churches and dead, full of dead men's bones and all corruption, as Scripture says. Go to 37, Jared. Wow. I wasn't planning on going here, guys, but let's stay here a minute. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Hey, they once were alive! And caused me to pass by them around about. Behold, there were very many in that open valley. And lo, they were very, very dry. Fellas, give me a thumbs up. We got some dry men in America. Are there some dry men? Do they want to be dry? I don't think they want to be dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Is that something? The Lord said, the Lord knew the answer. Can these bones live? He's asking us, church, can those men out there live? And I said, God, I answered, God, you know. I don't know. And again, he said unto me, okay, well then prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus say the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. Guys, these are men who were once alive who are dead. Now, this does not mean graveyards full of men. This means men, walking dead men all around us in America who understand something is seriously wrong. When the Spirit of the Lord blows wind back into them, look out. Look out. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put my breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Wow. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Think about this. And all of a sudden there was a noise. Behold, a shaking. And those bones came together, bone to bone. Can you imagine that clacking going on? With that clacking in the spirit again, that's what I'm after, Lord. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. What is breath? Life. Adam, he breathed into Adam the breath of life. There are a lot of dry bones out there, guys. Roger, there's hundreds of them sitting in your big mega church. Hundreds of them. He said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into many of them. And they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. I could go on and on in Ezekiel 37. Does anybody have faith, anybody but me, have faith to believe that this could happen in America? Huh? I run into them every day. I'm running into more and more and more of them every day. Now, I'm going to show you, I'm kind of Okay, look, that's okay. I want to show you, Jared. I'm sorry, guys. I feel like I'm struggling. I'm not struggling at all. I'm trying to see where the Holy Spirit wants me to go. Jared, I want you to go to the one that says stuff for video. I think that's what it says. No, that's not it. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not trying to break the spirit here. There it is. Look, I want you to see something. It's one of Pastor Manning, Pastor James David Manning out of Harlem, New York. I picked him up on Saturday. His 30-minute sermon. I want you guys to hear this from a black man. Now, think about what we just said. Hey, Jared, we're going to start at the 1-minute mark, and we're going to let it run to about the 10-minute mark. So it's about a 9-minute video. But I want you to listen. Pastor Manning is a friend of mine. He wouldn't mind if I used this. He's speaking to his congregation. I'm talking about dry bones. Understand, there's something bigger going on than we understand is going on. You understand that? Something bigger going on. Let's play this. It's a minute. Go ahead, Jared.
So white America recognizes something.
White America.
White America, we're talking middle America, middle class America, income bracket America, people that can probably trace their lineage back to the Mayflower or Plymouth Rock. People who trace
dry bones.
Some of them in a noble way back to the daughters of the American Revolution.
Dry bones!
People who can trace their lineage back to some of the original founders and signers of the Constitution. These Americans who have lived and worked. They worked in the fineries. They worked in the coal mines. They worked in the automobile industry. They worked among ships. They served in Europe in World War I, came back and served again in World War II. Their sons served in Vietnam. They served in Korea. These Americans where Rosie the Riveter put together airplanes and built ships, built aircraft carriers of the Eisenhower sort during World War II. These Americans that band together and work together as a bunch of bees working to supply Churchill with the kind of armaments, tanks, and airplanes that he needed to fight against Germany. These Americans, where there was no division, these Americans, where we grew up with Leave It to Beaver, we grew up with families and one person working in the household, and yet it took care of everybody, this paycheck took care of everybody. These Americans who gave America her greatness, that raised the flag, that marched on the 4th of July, these Americans that laid down their lives all over Europe, these Americans see that this America has been taken away from them. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone, I tell you. It's gone. It's gone. And they're angry. And they want to take it back. They want to take it back.
Dry bones.
They want America back. Donald Trump makes a very simple statement. Make America great again, because it's gone. America is gone. It ain't. It's gone. It ain't America no more. Middle class, the Banksers, the Wall Streeters. America is gone. Men whose fathers, men who can trace their lineage all the way back to serving with Ulysses S. Grant in the Civil War. Men who, in every generation since the Revolution, can state that one of my family members served this nation, bled and died, whether it was in Tripoli or on the shores of Savannah, Georgia. We have served this, we've lived and died for this nation, and now it's no longer ours. These are people you see out in Trump rallies. These are people you see in Trump rallies. America is gone. It's gone.
Dry bones.
It's gone. It ain't partially gone. It ain't, you know, maybe we can do something. No, America is gone. And they know it. It's gone. So Donald Trump comes along and he says, make America great again. And they said, that's what we want. We want to go back to the days when we, as Japheth, and of course, you know, the term white people, We could go to the drive-in movies. On Sundays, we could drive out to the beach. We could go to Baskin Robbins or to the Dairy Queen. And then we go to work in the factories, and Mama stayed home. You know, I don't know if y'all ever seen the story, Christmas Story, set in Terre Haute, Indiana. The little boy wants a red rock, wants a BB gun for Christmas. Typical American family. Typical. It's gone. It's gone. And the tragedy is people look up and say, where did it go? When did we lose it? How did it happen? But it's gone. It's gone. So when they look at Trump, they see the potential and the possibility that they can get America back again. And so you need to understand that it doesn't matter what Trump does or says. It doesn't matter. For them, if he loses this election, white people will never be a majority in America again. They will never choose another president. Probably not senators either. You go to Arizona, Utah, well, not Utah, but certainly Arizona, California, Texas. White people won't be not only not choosing president, they will not be choosing senators or legislators for the states. Because Latinos are so plenty, there's so many, they're all over everywhere. So you see these people out there with the Trump rallies, and they're going to get stronger and stronger because they want America back. And so the battle is this: if Trump loses, there's not going to be peace in America. You have to understand something, that this is not being said in the media. They're not going to tell you this. Why would they tell you that? They're going to tell you, okay, I'm not supporting Trump, by the way. This is not Trump. This is a message for Trump. You will find this is a message for Jesus. It ain't a message for Trump. But the media is not going to tell you that this is what's happening. The media is not going to tell you. And the other thing is that for you, if you imagine this is about, of course, our audiences, you know, we have a, you know, the people that listen to us, we praise God for that. But immediate indigenous people of Harlem and communities like this, or the Hamite people, or African American people. See, the problem is with you is that what you don't realize, and the reason why God sent me, what you don't realize is that America used to belong to two people, just two people, bipartisan. You don't realize it. And like that segment of the brain where you just don't have no conscience, America used to belong to white people and black people only. You didn't know that, did you? Roll the clock back 70 years, and we were the only ones here. We were the only one here. You said, well, I don't like the way we were treated. Well, that's another discussion for another time. Hold on. But there were no Muslims here running around down there in Aiken, South Carolina, where you come from. There were no Mexicans down there working down there in Aiken, South Carolina. 70 years ago, America belonged to two people. It was ours. You didn't have enough sense to know it. You let people tell you about Jim Crow. You let people tell you that we need to march. We need to march for freedom. You never turned to God. But 70 years ago, this was ours all by ourselves. We had America. We and the white folk, we had it by ourselves. It was ours. There are no Muslims here. We're Muslim. They're not coming to talk about no Muslim. We'll take your head off down here.
You can stop that, Jared.
They're Mexican.
I'm gonna show you something, fellas, that as I watched this yesterday, this is not black and white. When he said that, I thought, wow, divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. What he didn't say there, which is kind of understood in his presentation, is that black folks and white folks were the only ones here in 1950. I'm going to show you that here in a second. They were the only ones here in 1950. And they were all Christians. They were all Christians. the divide and conquer started with a division, even though blacks and whites maybe, you know, not maybe, equal rights, whatever, that the enemy came in and he sowed discord amongst black brothers and white brothers. Do you remember how righteous those old Negro spirituals, they used to call them? Do you remember how spiritual, the soul music was the hard cry of the black musicians crying out of their bosom for the anguish they've been through? Soul music, soul brother. And the point Pastor Manning is making is there was a time when America was black and white, period, but all Christian. So he said 70 years ago, it piqued my interest. So I went back to the census. Scroll on down, Jared. Keep on going. I'll tell you when. Keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. Oh, there we go, Jared. Go back up there. Population distribution by race, 1940 to 2010. It blew me away. Look at this. 1940, 89.8% white, 9.8% black, no Hispanics, no Chinese, no Muslim. Now, they may have been here, but not enough to even measure it. 1950, 10 years later, still the same thing. 1960, still the same thing. 1970, uh-oh, a little bit of something's creeping in down there at the bottom. You can't even hardly, oh, it says Asian and Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islanders. And look what begins to happen in the 1980s. My, oh my. Look at 2010. The white population has dropped from 89.8% to 72.4% of the population. The blacks have gone from 9.8 to 12.6, but what we got to be scared about is these others, the 6.2% that are some other race. Wow. So, Coach, what are you saying? What's Pastor Manning saying? We got to speak to those dry bones. That's what's going on in America. A resurrection of the Christian male. I said white Christian male. I'll take black Christian male. We are in a religious war. We are in a spiritual war.
Amen.
For the soul of America. I'm going to stop yelling there for a minute. I'm sure some of you got something that you'd like to say here, what you've seen. Is this unbelievable? Did you ever stop and think about that, guys? I can remember growing up in the 60s, in the 70s, I hardly ever saw anybody other than white and black people. Anybody? Anything to say? Don't leave me hanging. So when I say to you today that we have to prophesy to those bones, we have to restore Christianity, Christian values. Now, as much as we want to believe this to be the truth, those people, guys, those people at the Trump rallies, they were raised with Christian values. Probably for the most part, they're not following them anymore. Those are the dry bones. Those are the ones that have to have life breathed into them. And we need a spiritual, they call it revival, we need a spiritual rebirth. We need the gospel back inside our churches. And sadly, as we look down there at 2010, boy, I can't imagine what it's going to be in 2020. These trends are going to be irreversible. Do you see what's happening to the white Christian male? 89% of America to 72% of America. Oh, Lord help us. Lord help us. So I would, I didn't know I was going to show all that this morning. I guess that verified to me what I've been trying to get people to see, that this is a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war. And did you get what Pastor Manning said? The civil rights movement. Look at the civil rights movement. 40s, 50s, 60s. You know, all the black families were married. Do you know in 1960, the divorce rate in the black community was about 3%? Do you know today in America, 70% of black children don't have a daddy? I was working with a young black woman the other day. Not making this up. She has 4 children. And she told me her baby daddy, you know what that is, right? We used to call that husband. Her baby daddy, this girl's 22. She has 4. Her baby daddy himself has 10. He has 10. That's because of the destruction of morality. See, when the church, when we in America began to focus in 1940, 50, look at the demographics there, 1960s, when all of a sudden we went from a common Christian culture, black and white, divided, yes, segregated, yes, but Christian, yes. When the rebellion broke loose in the 1960s, the God-haters jumped upon and rode the civil rights movement to where we are today in 2010. Look at those. Look at that chart. And it was the division amongst black and white brothers that we were told that your white Christian brother, black man, is your enemy. That's your enemy. That white Christian devil, that's your enemy. And look at what began to happen through the divide and conquer that goes on there. Okay.
That's your enemy. That white.
I'm going to move on unless somebody wants to jump in there.
Coach.
Yes.
You know, looking back at the abortion that started right after the 1970 mark, what, 73, Roe versus Wade?
All those
black and white babies that were killed would have changed those statistics.
Isn't that something? Huh?
That would have preserved our country as it used to be. Taking away prayer after the 1960 mark there, what, 62, Madeline O'Hare?
Hey, Larry, what happened in 1964? Does anybody know what happened in 1964? Lyndon Johnson's war on poverty, right?
Yep.
What happened in 1964? The government became the dad, in the black community in particular. Government became the dad. And look what happened. Look what happened to us. So I'm crazy enough to believe, I still want to prophesy to those dry bones. I believe the Trump rallies are filled with men who have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. And we have to figure out a way that we can reach the heart of men, that they can understand that Donald Trump, you got to hear their heart cry, is to make America great again, that only Jesus can make America great again, not Donald Trump. But they're looking for a savior. They're looking for the America that, as Pastor Manning said, that America's gone. It's gone. Amen? Anybody else? Oh, okay. Breaks my heart. Because I think I told you this the other day. It's what it's about. Children and grandchildren and what we leave to them. We'll shift gears here. How much time? Okay, just good. Just be good. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on down in... I know what it is. Hey, Jared, let's show the real quick Barney Miller. You guys remember Barney Miller? The TV show Barney Miller. Used to love it. They had all those goofy guys on there. Trying to figure out which one it is, Jared. I think it's stuff up there. I think it's the first one. Yeah. This is 2 minutes and 28 seconds. This is 1981. Somebody do the math for me. How long ago is that?
35 years
ago. Barney Miller. This is unbelievable. Go ahead and play that, Jerry.
The ones you should be arresting, not me.
Why don't you say that before? What do we got here?
Can
Yeah, Mrs. William Klein. He was wrecking an office.
But I just wanted to meet them face to face. I wanted them to admit what they were doing.
Who is they?
He was in the office of the Trilateral Commission.
Trilateral Commission?
Yeah, the Trilateral Commission.
All right, what is the Trilateral Commission?
It's an organization founded in 1973 by David Rockefeller to bring together business and political leaders from the United States, Europe, Japan, so they could work together for better economic and political cooperation between their nations.
Yeah, but that's what they'd like us to believe. But you see, what they're really up to is a scheme to plant their own loyal members in positions of power in this country, to work to erase national boundaries, create an international community, and in time, bring about a one-world government with David Rockefeller calling the shots.
I take it they're pressing charges?
Yeah, well, he broke a globe and some UNICEF artwork.
Well, they're in on it, too.
Okay, Mr. Klein, if you just...
I'm telling you, our whole way of life as we know it is in jeopardy.
I appreciate that information.
But I have the documented evidence. It's all in there. Show him.
Well, he's got these magazines here.
Conspiracy Review? Suppressed Truth Roundup?
The whole master plan is exposed.
Yeah, well,
You're still not convinced, huh? Would you like to hear the names of just a few of the people who have been on the Trilateral Commission?
Not particularly.
James Earl Carter. Heard of him?
Look, Mr. Klein...
Henry Kissinger. You heard of him? Walter Mondale.
Who?
Mr. Klein, this is
John Anderson, George Bush. Now, you remember at the convention, everybody thought it was going to be Ford for Veep. You know what happened? David Rockefeller just picked up a phone, put in a call. Hey, Ronnie, forget Jerry, it's George. Bye. So, no matter who won in November, they had their man in the White House.
Are you through?
Unbelievable, huh? Anybody feel like that guy? Huh? Anybody feel
Amen.
Like that? That's 35 years ago! Right out in the open, telling us exactly what they were going to do. Hey, are we having any more success today telling other people? Is anybody understanding it any better today than we were 35 years ago? See, we laugh about it, say, well. So listen, I'm going to show you. We're getting ready to go to, stay right there on that page, Jared. Let's go to the Cajun Navy. I don't know how many of you know this. We're going to talk about the flooding a little bit down in Baton Rouge because we're going to go down there. They have something called the Cajun Navy down there. Do you guys know what the Cajun Navy is? Well, we're going to find out. The Cajun Navy is just a bunch of good old boys down there got boats. And when the flooding hit, they showed up outside Baton Rouge with their boats. And what do you suppose happened? You're right. The feds wouldn't let them rescue people. Huh? Yep. Watch. Watch.
Aliens here for a second.
You want to get everybody on the front?
Hey, guys, y'all come up to the front. Wait 1 second. Tell this dude to settle down.
They're mad because they can't get in water.
All right, it's building. All right, guys, we really need your help right here because we got 70-something boats out here. And I'm going to flip this camera around. You guys are going to see all the captains of these boats right here. This is the Cajun Navy. Officials have been giving us the runaround as to what we do today. Every plan that we've had has been thwarted. We need your help to reach out to social media and every official in the state of Louisiana to tell us where to take this Cajun Navy to today so we can be of help to our neighbors and our community. This is the men and women right here of the Cajun Army, Cajun Navy. Guess we could be an army too.
Frank got that.
As you guys can see right here, we need your help. Investing a lot of time, a lot of assets to get in the water, to help these people. Everywhere we keep going, we're told, no, we can't do this, no, we can't do that. Just got in the water here, and we can't get direction from anybody. We want a police escort to where we should go. So if you can help us, reach out, tag whoever you know, tell them to call me, 310-461-6358, and let's get this Cajun Navy in the water so we can help our citizens and people out here. This is not about any one person. This is about helping the people that are in need. There are people out there that are going to die if we don't get these people in the water. So I need y'all's help to get these people in the freaking water now. So if somebody can help us, again, these are the men and women right here willing to help. There's a lot more out on boats right now, as y'all can see. We have nowhere to go, and we have a lot of boats right now that are not in the water. So what can you do to help us? Please, please, please share this video. Share it a million times until somebody calls, until the governor calls us. Hopefully I get a phone call from the governor soon. 310-461-6358, y'all.
It's America, man.
God bless.
It's America. Neighbor helping neighbor. And these guys take their boats. They came from all over Louisiana, swamp country. You know what that's, right? To get into the water, to go to these places and rescue people who are trapped on their roofs, trapped in wherever, in their attics, and the federal government would not let them do it. It's unbelievable. Barney Miller, right? It's Barney Miller. I don't know if you guys know this. Jared and I made a video. I'm not going to show you the video. Jared, let's go to that weather video that shows the overlay of the flooding area and exactly what's happened down there. You know what I'm talking about, buddy? It says stuff for the video on it, I think. And go down to the bottom to the Weather Channel thing, Jared. You know the one we used the other day. Guys, I want you to look at this. It's worse than Katrina. Right there, it's a good one. Worse than Katrina. This is a before and after picture. Look at that. Before and after. And so these guys wanted to get in the boats and go rescue those people. Scroll down one, Jared. There's another area. Before and after. Scroll down one more, Jared. Look at this. Before and after. One more, Jared. Before and after. Another one, Jared. There's one more down there. This is unbelievable. This is worse than Katrina. Now, we are, Jared, show... Jared, let's switch over to some of the pictures there in the neighborhood. I think it's another link, Jared, if you can. We've got friends down there, Pastor Dale Socia and Rusty Thomas was just down there as well. We're going to go down Friday, Saturday, Sunday this next week. Rich is going to go. He's going to take a food truck. We're trying to make arrangements for people to go down and help. And here's look at this. These are those neighborhoods we just saw. Everything in those houses has to come out. Carpet, drywall, you name it. This goes on for blocks and blocks and blocks. 110,000 homes have been damaged, 40,000 underwater, and only 10% of any flood insurance. See, that's why the feds aren't there, because flood insurance is federal. So they don't have flood insurance? Oh, well. They're not down there. So what we're going to do, we're going to put boots in the ground all next weekend, and we're going to help. Some of these people aren't even back in their homes yet. We're going to help pull everything out of their house. 4 feet, 1 inches, you have to, got to cut everything out. Got to tear out the drywall, 4 feet, 1 inch above it, all the way around, clean everything out. We're going down with a lot of, not bread this time, although we're going to take some bread because Rich is going to do some feeding. They want more than anything, bleach. Imagine that, bleach, because of the vile fungus and mold that's going to grow
into each and every one of these homes. These were beautiful. Look at these houses, folks. I mean, these aren't. See, New Orleans, when it hit New Orleans, it was slums. We were down there. It was slums. This isn't the slums. This is suburbia, modern America. That's what we're dealing with. Okay? Anybody? Say, so Coach, what's your plan? Well, we're going to leave. I'm leaving from Columbus, Ohio area Thursday. We're going to drive down Thursday night. They'll put us up in houses. We'll have a place to stay. We'll have food. All of your expenses will be taken care of. But we just need boots on the ground. Two things we want to do. I should have got another video ready. Great. Guys, folks that are watching this, we have to retrain people. It's not the government that takes care of you. It's not the government. It's not the job of the government. When a disaster hits like this, it's God's people that have to show up. Now listen to me. We will never be able to rebuild them. We can't do that. But can't we, after the initial shock, people are back into their homes, can't we lend a hand? Can't we go down there and pray with people and encourage people? Chris Clegg, what an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus with these dry bones who are dead men walking, and everything they had, they've lost. Everything they've had, they've lost. And we sit around and we say, well, get the government down there, get FEMA down there and the Red Cross down there. The Red Cross ain't going to take the gospel with them, neither is FEMA. And this is a great ministry outreach to these hurting people down in. We're going to prophesy to these dry bones down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Have life! Have life! Wake up! Understand what's going on. Know this. God has more disaster than the federal government has relief. If we don't turn back to the Lord, right now, guys, do you know this? We are 9 days away, 9 days away from a triple header. Yep, hurricane smacking over where you live, Larry. Do you know that's coming that way? Have you guys been following that? Three hurricanes out in the Atlantic Ocean. One, they say, if it stays on course, is going to be up to the northern part, up around New York. Larry, I hate to tell you this, one coming towards good old South Carolina, and the third just kind of out there floating around. If you were to, I wish I had that up there that I could show you. This, 9 days from now. 9 days from now. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to warn you. Can I show you one more thing? Jared. Let's go back, Jared, to it says stuff on it, Jared. That's all it says is stuff. It was the same one that Barney Miller was on. Hey, folks, the Lord's going to get our attention. He's going to get our attention. You know what's going to happen? He's going to prophesy to a lot of dry bones. Look at this, guys. This is from RT, which is Russian television, I believe it. Look at this. The German government has told the people in Germany to store 10-day emergency food stock. Germany is telling their people to store 10 days of emergency food and water. Now, they say in case of an attack. Probably what's more than likely is in case of a financial collapse, would be my guess. So there's a lot of stuff that's bubbling up all around us, guys, and they got us focused on the Olympics, and they got us focused on Hillary and Trump, and Hillary's so daggone sick, she doesn't even have any events scheduled. I don't know if you followed that. She's been exposed for what she is. And if we believe, as I do, that the devil's at work, and the devil wants to destroy Christian America, the more that it appears that Donald Trump is going to win, the more dangerous it's going to become for us. Can somebody explain that, why I just said that? The more it appears that Trump's going to win, the more dangerous it's going to become for the rest of us.
He doesn't fit the New World Order agenda.
It's about power and control and money and who's gonna do this and who's gonna do that. And you think that they're not scared that if Trump would get elected, that he would dig into some of these issues, these scams have been going on, $6.5 billion missing out of the State Department, $6.5 billion. Hillary selling influence, probably paying off many people in the government. Hillary, the Clinton Foundation, probably passing money to elected officials to keep quiet about it, probably. We are in calamitous, perilous times. That's why we got to prophesy to some dry bones, baby. We got to wake up some dry bones. Because what we're seeing happening in Louisiana, just a signpost. Remember Twilight Zone? Signpost up ahead. There's a signpost out there. Something's coming, man. Something's coming. Something's coming. Here's the good news. The Lord promised he'd never do it to us by water again. He'd never do it by a flood. Something crazy's coming. 5 minutes left. Anybody want to jump in here? I've kind of hogged the whole show here today. Jeez, quiet.
What faces the church is, like you said, is they're all excited and hepped up about their revivals they have every year about this time.
That's right, different gospel, Larry.
But like you started the show off, you cannot breathe life again, a revival, without the Bible having been there in the first place. And our churches, and I, that one part of the scripture you read, something about those who are preaching this different gospel should be accursed. Accursed, that's what the Word of God says. Now, we as I'm talking as a general loose member of what's called the general loose church around here, what's happening is members of the churches are standing up and protecting their pastors for telling them these lies all these years.
They are. You're right.
The Bible says they should be accursed.
Different gospel, though, isn't it, Larry? It's a different gospel. Hey, guys, listen. I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm not doom and gloom. I'm not going to go down and hide in my cellar. I'm excited. Hey, Rich, it says the street's going to be filled with men. That's what I just read. It's going to be filled with men. There's something great that's coming. Come on, guys, wake up. Let's wake up and understand something great is coming. And we have got to go breathe life into these dead bones, all these Trump bones, all those bones down there in Louisiana. We got to go do what we can to breathe life back into those guys. Guys who now understand that they've lost everything. Now that they've lost everything, they got nothing to lose. Now maybe they'll wake up and understand that there's something bigger going on than just how much stuff they can accumulate. We carry their TVs out and throw it in a pot. We carry their lounge chair out and throw it in a big pile. We carry their couch out and throw it in a big pile. What have they got? They got nothing. Maybe their eyes will be open. Maybe the Lord is sending this as an eye opener. Maybe he's saying, guys, breathe life into those dry bones. I'm excited about where we are. I'm not depressed. I'm not scared. Rise up, O men of God. That's what I say. That's what I say. Anybody wants to go with us, we'd love to have you go. You don't Amen. Have to go with us. You can meet us down there. If you want to go, you got to email me. Email me so you know, so I can set up living arrangements and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, we can meet you part way and pick you up on the way down if you want to. We'll do whatever we can to help you get down there. You could be listening to this in Florida. You can drive right across, get over there to Louisiana. You can be listening to it in Texas. Get in your car and get down to Texas. And we'll all go down there and we'll breathe. Not only will we help some people, we're going to breathe some life into some dry bones. Yes, sir. Yes, you can. Yes. And, yes, you can donate. Sure can. Oh, you don't have to. You already paid your taxes. Government will do it. Government will do it. Here's what you do. Go to your pastor and say, hey, pastor, you know that big tithe check I wrote to you last week? I ain't writing any more of those. I'm going to send them over to Pass the Salt because Coach Dave's going to give that money to guys down on the street, pastors down on the street in Louisiana need our help. I think we're okay. We got plenty of blacktop. We got plenty of plasma TVs. We got plenty of staff. I'm going to take this money, and I'm going to give it to Pass the Salt Ministries, and Coach Dave's going to give it to the pastors down in Louisiana who are trying to rescue the perishing down there. That's what I'm going to do. You're for me, aren't you, Pastor? That's okay. It's a good idea that I do that, Pastor. Yeah, we'll find out where he stands, won't we? Say, Coach, are you telling people not to pay their tithes? Sort of. I'm saying to redirect them. Redirect them! Bleach! Toilet paper! Diapers! Formula! Food! Hamburgers, hot dogs! Charcoal! Now's when they need our help! Now! Now's when they need it. Their heart's only going to be soft for so long. Boy, I was all over the place today, guys. I was all over the place. You want to go? Get a hold of us. Coach@ptsalt.com. Or go to our website, coachdavelive.com, and you can connect us right on there. Did I leave anything out there, Jared? Did I do a good job on that, trying to get the right information out to everybody? Okay. We need you. The Lord hath need of you. Not FEMA, not the Red Cross, not the Salvation Army. Salvation Army doesn't even share the gospel anymore because they take government money they're not allowed to. It's a gospel issue. Hey, God bless you all. I'm in a great mood. You just may not sound like it. I can't wait to go serve the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow.